Just sort of as we were singing these last two songs, and after some of the things that have been said this morning, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. We've been talking about the armor of God. We've been talking about doing battle, and you know, the enemy's not happy when we do that. And maybe some of you have experienced that outside of here during your weeks, some difficult things or some challenging things or maybe even some unusual things. I don't know. I did receive an email from someone this past week that said, you know, there's some things going on in my life and some stuff, and I was asking God for forgiveness of sin, trying to figure out what was going on. And that person said that when they recognized that it was spiritual warfare and acknowledged that before God, they said it was like it was gone, and the enemy left. So even as we worship on a Sunday morning, it's kind of like doing battle. Because, you know, I know we don't come here on a Sunday morning all, you know, everybody's happy and ready to praise the Lord. You know, there's some crap going on in our lives during the week and stuff. But as we worship God, there's something that happens, and he strengthens us and enables us and prepares us even to hear from his word as we do that together now. And so let me just encourage you, on top of what's already been said, worshiping on a Sunday morning, just God strengthens us through that and enables us through that. I like the green one with the little thing around it because it doesn't fall as much. So I usually, when I'm sitting down there on a Sunday morning, I'm like, who's got the green one? Who's got the green one? Because it's the best, and it doesn't. So worship team, good luck figuring this all out when you come back up. You know, I'll be basically done my part. So, hey, this past January was a cool time for us. Our youngest son, Patty's, and my youngest son, Ben, got married here at Pioneer Park Church. And we later attended a reception in Guelph. It was near the university where they both attended, at a place called Cutton Fields. And we timed it as we traveled there from wherever it was we were. We timed it so that we would be there just before the reception started. And the problem is that as we pulled up Google Maps, we ended up on some little dead-end street, actually way behind the property that we wanted to be. And I remember thinking that there were a lot of vehicles making the same U-turn that we were on that little dead-end street. Well, the Google Maps, I know some of you can explain this in technical terms. I'm going to try and explain it in a little bit of watered-down terms. But the Google Maps sort of locator spot or the pin was in the middle of the golf course, not at the reception hall where we wanted to be. And so that road brought us closest to the pin or the marker on the Google Maps, not to actually the grounds and the place we wanted to be. We did, however, just make it in the nick of time before things began, and it was great. In that case, we had pretty much relied on the device to get us there, and it let us down for what we were looking for, what we needed. But folks, I just use that little illustration to say to you this morning, and some of you have experienced that getting lost and using your GPS and it taking you to a place you didn't want to go or be. But let me just sort of segue and say there is a guidance system that doesn't let us down. In fact, it even tells us where we've come from, where we are now, and where we're headed in the future. And you know what I'm going to say. It's God's guidance system, known as his word, the Bible. Last week, as we wrapped up our consideration of the spiritual warfare and the armor of God, I touched on something that I'd like to consider with you a little further this week. It was specifically based around a verse in Ephesians chapter 2, and it was our challenge for the week. And so I'm just asking, just a hands raised, did anyone take up that challenge from last week? Yeah. That's exciting. I think there was one more than last week. That's awesome. And you know, one of the things I don't want to do, I don't want to keep doing that and have you stand up and say stuff, because then people won't come because they're nervous or afraid, or it's like, oh my goodness, he's going to ask again. who did it, and I'm going to have to fail again. So that's not the point of condemnation. But Patty, you wanted to say something about memorizing in Scripture. That's not what I thought she was going to say, but. And now we can close in prayer and be dismissed. And awesome. Thanks, Patty, for sharing that. Ephesians 2:6, let's read it together. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Let's just do that one more time because you weren't ready for that. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm where? I'm in the heavenly realms. A Kitchener is a great place to live, but this really is not my idea of a heavenly realm. It's a challenging concept to think or to wrap our heads around, and I'm not going to try to describe the whole essence or do the whole description on what the heavenly realms are. But I want to refer to it today as we consider some things together. In Ephesians chapter 2, and we had touched on this last week and again this week, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is telling me that it's a truth. I am in the heavenly realms right now. As a believer in Christ, as a Christ follower, I am currently seated with him, Jesus, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. How does that work? I mean, first of all, I think we have to realize that it's a spiritual truth, okay? Clearly, it's a spiritual truth. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, Paul wrote this to the people he was writing to. He said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." Paul is saying in the first chapter of Ephesians, this book of Ephesians, that your goal as a Christian is to understand the spiritual truths of the hope that you have, of the riches of the inheritance that you have, and the power that God's given you. And that power that's available to us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly realms, the Bible tells us. Jesus is in the heavenly realms right now. And because he is there, you are there, even though you are physically here. Somebody want to take a drink and just pause and then we'll carry on. Ephesians 2:6 says, God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, you are in Christ Jesus. He is in the heavenly realms. Therefore, since you are in Christ and he is in the heavenly realms, you are in the heavenly realms too. It kind of works like this. Canada has diplomatic and consular offices in about 180 foreign countries. We have embassies in about 180 countries. Those embassies are owned by Canada. No matter what nation that embassy is in, if you are a Canadian citizen, then you are protected under the laws and rights of that citizenship of that embassy. Now, you're physically in a foreign nation and on foreign soil, so to speak, but because of your citizenship, you are under the protection or rule of the embassy's nation, but only because of your citizenship. Now, all human illustrations break down at some point when you liken them to what the Bible says. But that's kind of what Ephesians 2:6 means when it says you are in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You are in the heavenly realms because you are in Christ Jesus. Your citizenship is a heavenly one. It's a spiritual one, even though you're physically here. If you were not in Christ, you would not be in the heavenly realms. And so the question is, what does that matter? What difference does it make whether or not you're in the heavenly realms as the Bible talks about here? Well, it matters because where you are influences who has control over your life. Where you are influences influences who has control over your life. If I'm in a foreign country and there's no Canadian embassy there, I'm at the mercy of the authorities of that country. And if I'm arrested, there is no one there to protect me. If I'm in prison, there is not authority to step in and defend me. One of the major purposes of a Canadian embassy is to serve and protect the citizens of our nation. And if I find myself in trouble, I can go to that embassy and that foreign power cannot touch me. It cannot harm me. Now, let's do a sidebar here. There have been a few occasions during history that you've seen where that's been violated and embassies have been overrun during times of revolution, but those are the exception. Inside those embassy walls, I am safe. That's what Ephesians is telling us. You are in the heavenly realms, in a heavenly embassy, and you are safe. You are protected. The evil one cannot touch you. In fact, that's what 1 John 5:18 tells us. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one, in capitals there, that's referring to Jesus, the one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Now, the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 2, the chapter that we are looking at here, tells us that that hasn't always been true for us, because at one time it says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan referring to him. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So let me read that first part again, because I kind of broke it up strangely. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature or our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, of God's wrath. At one time in the spiritual context, again, in the spiritual context, we were citizens of this world. At one time, we belonged to the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan. At one time, we lived among the people of this world and were deserving of the wrath of God. But now that's not true. When we give ourselves to Jesus and begin that relationship, that all changes. Our citizenship changes. That's why later in his letter, Paul will refer to Christians as foreigners and aliens. Peter and the writer of Hebrews also called believers aliens and strangers in the letters that they wrote. And one of the things that go along with that new citizenship is that we're raised up into a new environment, if you will, that is different than the one we were influenced by before we came to Jesus. You see, being citizens of what the Bible calls a heavenly realm means we begin to evaluate and live our lives based on God's standards rather than those of the world. There's an old church song. Maybe it wasn't originally a church song, but it goes like this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me or call me from heaven's open door, and I don't or I can't feel at home in this world anymore. What does that mean? What does it mean that you no longer belong to this world? Well, if I go to another country, chances are I'll stick out like a sore thumb. What does that mean? Well, if you're ESL, sore thumb might be a weird thing, right? You know, but if you hammer your thumb and it's like red and swollen, it really sticks out. You can see that. And so if I go to another country, chances are I'll stick out like a sore thumb, especially, let's say, if I went to Japan. I'm not going to look like the people of that country. I'm probably not going to dress like them. I'm probably not going to act like them. I'm probably not even going to think like them. And that's kind of what Ephesians talks about. Paul in chapter 4 of Ephesians 17:20 says this: "So I tell you and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." He says they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. Those are not any words that I wrote or anything like that. These are right out of the Bible. And so, you know, if you have any argument or don't like those words, then you need to talk to God about it and see what he says. So I need to, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, apparently I need to look different than the people of this world. I need to look different than those who aren't following Christ. I need to dress different in a spiritual sense, okay? In a spiritual sense. The book of Colossians in chapter 3 says that we should clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. I need to act different. I need to think different because the world isn't my home. In fact, other people realize that Christians need to look and dress and act and think differently than they do. Because when we don't, they have a special name for us. You know what they call us? Hypocrites. Even those who don't have a relationship with Jesus realize that Christians are supposed to be different. Our citizenship isn't here. It doesn't mean we don't live and do the best we can and enjoy this planet and strive to be our best and do our best for the welfare of our world. We just are supposed to do it differently. We're supposed to do it according to God's standards and according to God's guidelines. And the more I see of what goes on in this world, I'm kind of glad that my citizenship is a heavenly one. I definitely don't want to live like that. If I did live like that and some of the things I see, it would hurt me. Let's say I get on a plane and I want to go visit, or I'm going to get on a plane, I want to go visit a nation. I'm going to say south of the border. Not the U.S. South of that. One of the things my embassy might warn me about, or now travel advisories warn us, is that there are certain things I've got to be careful about. For example, they may warn me not to drink something. What might they warn me not to drink? Yeah, right? You've had that one. Well, why not? Well, our water is filtered and clean and pure, and some other places, not so much. Now, they might not get sick drinking our water, but their water could end up hurting me because it isn't pure and it isn't clean. And so later in Ephesians, the book here that we're looking at, chapter 4, Paul lets us know what kind of water we should not drink. Again, Try and hang with me in the spiritual sense. In Ephesians 4:25, he says, don't lie. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Don't drink the water of lying in our world. Lying will hurt us. It will hurt our witness, and it will hurt our God. In chapter 4, verses 26 to 27, it says, you can be angry, but be really careful that you don't sin in your anger. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't drink the water of uncontrolled anger. Uncontrolled or unresolved anger allows Satan to come in and to damage our relationships. It will hurt us. It will hurt our witness, and it will hurt our God. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 28, it tells people who have been stealing, not only don't steal, but get a job and give to those in need. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. We need to be people of integrity and generosity, because when we're not, it'll hurt us. It'll hurt our witness, and it will hurt our God. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 29, it tells us, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't drink the water of bad language, of gossiping, of speaking discouraging things. Because if we don't learn to talk in ways that are helpful and build others up, it'll hurt us. And it'll hurt our witness. And it will hurt our God. And the rest of the chapter, chapter 4 there, talks about staying away from, of getting rid of things like bitterness and rage and anger. And I hope none of you are brawlers, and slander with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Don't drink the water of that kind of behavior. Because that kind of behavior will hurt us. It'll hurt our witness, and it'll hurt our God. What he's saying is, don't drink the water of this world. It'll make you spiritually sick. Now, we've been talking about some of the negative aspects of this reality of the heavenly realms, but there are positive advantages, good things to being in the heavenly realms. And one of those advantages is found in Ephesians. I'm just going to hop back to chapter 2, verse 3, that tells us that before we became Christians, before we came to Christ, he says all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. As a Christ follower, when we come to Jesus, as a Christian, we're not under God's wrath anymore. We're not struggling against God anymore. I read a story about a soldier, a vet, talking about the oddity or the strangeness of serving in Iraq. He said he ended up posing for pictures with Iraqi soldiers. He'd hold their guns as the picture was taken, and they would hold his. But just a few months before, they had been at war. They had been enemies. And now they were allies and even friends. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've become friends and allies of God because we're no longer under condemnation. Our citizenship is in his realm. We are in the heavenly realms, but only because we are in Christ. And how did we get in Christ? How did we gain access to the heavenly realms? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Paul wrote in Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When we believe in Jesus, when we repent of our sins and follow him as Lord and Savior, we are forgiven of our sins. And our life becomes hidden with him. And then that verse says that we that God raised us up with him, and in a spiritual sense, we're seated in the heavenlies. And last week we said, you know, sometimes there are folks who are living under this cloud, living under the thought that, you know, I can't defeat the enemy. I'm living under Satan. You know, there's Jesus here, and here's Satan, and here's me, and I'm just under it, and there's stuff going on, and I can't deal with it. But the Bible tells us that we are seated in the heavenlies with him. And so that means we're above, not below. And we have all the power that God gives to defeat our enemy. And we've talked about that through a number of weeks in talking about the armor. We have things available to us to be victorious in those things in our lives. Whether they're habits of sin or stuff that you're just trying to get rid of, it's not enough to say, I'm not going to do it anymore. We need God's strength and his enabling to overcome and to get through those things and through those situations and overcome those habits. Once we're in Christ, we have all the blessings and advantages of citizenship. And to that, what more can we say than praise be to God, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Amen. You know, the topic of the heavenly realms is one that is, it's crazy. It's amazing, and it's wild, and it's not everything that I could go into and we could look at today. But perhaps in the future we'll take a look at that a little further. Maybe it could be in terms of a Bible study. But God has blessed us. He has seated us when we have come to him, when we have confessed our sins, and we have asked for his forgiveness. We come to him, and we're seated in the heavenlies with him. And that means we have the power that God gives to overcome those things in our lives. That's exciting. I think that's exciting. I think it's amazing. And I just pray that even this week that you'll be able to realize that. Recognize spiritual warfare in your life, if that's what it is that's going on. But recognize all the more that you have the power from God, his power and his strength to overcome and to walk through those things. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, that tells us that we can have the victory.